Once again, I thank you all for offering me the opportunity to start a new Masechta together with the Chevra Hadaf. And this time we get to start Masechta's Rosh Hashanah, which is obviously an appropriate Masechta to be starting. It's a Masechta that's all about new beginnings. Now, as a matter of Hakdama, as a matter of introduction to the first Mishnah, we'll just begin by noting that the term Rosh Hashanah is obviously one that denotes a very specific day in our calendar, at least to us. When we talk about the holiday of Rosh Hashanah, we're of course talking about the holiday that is primarily designated as the first day of Chodesh Tishrei. We know that it extends for 2 days through the first day of Chodesh Tishrei and the second day of Chodesh Tishrei, and that's something that applies even in Eretz Yisrael. Rosh Hashanah's Yomtov Sheni Shel Galios, if you will, is not really Yomtov Sheni Shel Galios. It's a Yomtov Sheni period, and it actually has special halachic status, as we're familiar with, has certain halachic ramifications in terms of how we experience the second day of Rosh Hashanah. But it's interesting to note that term Rosh Hashanah is not actually used in the Torah to describe what we call the holiday of Rosh Hashanah. What are the words that the Torah uses to describe the holiday of Rosh Hashanah? Well, we call it Yom HaZikaron in our tefilos. In our Nosach HaTefilah, we call it Yom HaZikaron. What are the words in the Torah itself? Yom Teruah or Zichron Teruah. Zichron Teruah. Two different formulations that are used in Vayikra and in Bamidbar. Those are the formulations that are used for Rosh Hashanah. Now, those formulations themselves could be quite significant, as we learn Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Maybe one is Rosh Hashanah Shchalios Peshavis for Zichron Teruah, and Yom Teruah is when we actually blow the shofar, perhaps. But the term Rosh Hashanah is not actually used in reference to what we call Rosh Hashanah. And we're going to see that in our very first Mishnah, there are four Rosh Hashanahs that are identified throughout the year. Now, people often look at this Mishnah and they scratch their heads and say, hey, what are you talking about? We know what Rosh Hashanah is. But again, let's just note the fact that if we're just thinking, again, we know what Rosh Hashanah is colloquially, because again, much of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, certainly towards the end, is going to be about the Yom Teruah, is going to be about the halachos of the holiday of Rosh Hashanah. But it's important for us to note that that term is indeed an ambiguous term. So much so, ad kedei kach, that there's a famous machlokas as to what the first month of the year is. It's actually a timely week to be starting Maseches Rosh Hashanah, because Rashi quotes that machlokas in Parshas Noach, which we just read. Rashi cites the machlokas as to whether the year starts from Chodesh Tishrei, or, as we know, does it start from Chodesh Nisan, which is what the Torah usually designates as the first month, as the Parshas HaMoadim and Vayikra Perachav Gimel, and the like. And dealing with that tension between whether Tishrei or Nisan is the first month is actually, again, it's a major question. You have machlokas as to when the world was created in Tishrei or Nisan. And if you hold, as we do, that the world was created in Tishrei, which is why we celebrate our Rosh Hashanah in Tishrei, you still have to address the question as to why the Torah chooses to designate Nisan as Chodesh Arishon. So that's, again, it's a major discussion. The Ramban, in his Drasha L'Rosh Hashanah, devotes extensive time to discussing that question as to why we call Nisan Chodesh Arishon if indeed we seem to pass and that Tishrei is the month of creation. But in any event, the term Rosh Hashanah itself, as we're going to see in the Mishnah in a halachic sense, actually designates four different points over the course of the year. So what we're going to do now is we're going to take a look at this first Mishnah. We're going to just read about the four Rosh Hashanahs. Now, the first daf is primarily devoted to one of them, to one of these Rosh Hashanahs, and to one of their ramifications. But just as a way of, again, just introducing the Mishnah, we'll just talk about all these different Rosh Hashanahs in generic terms, and obviously as we go through the Gemaras, we will learn about each one in greater detail. So the Mishnah begins, Rosh Hashanah daf beis amud aleph, arba Rosh Hashanim heim, there are four Rosh Hashanahs. Echad b'Nisan, Rosh Hashanah l'malachim u'l'regalim. So the first of the four Rosh Hashanahs is the first of Nisan, and it itself has two ramifications. One is for melachim, which is the one that we're going to discuss. It is the Rosh Hashanah for kings. We're not going to elaborate on that now because we're going to spend the entire daf elaborating on that. And the second one is for regalim, the Shalosh regalim. The first month of the Shalosh regalim is Nisan. Indeed, again, once again, colloquially, when we talk about the Shalosh regalim, we refer to them as Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, which is reflective of the fact that Nisan is the first month regarding the Regalim. Pesach is the first of the Regalim. And the Gemara is going to discuss the halachic ramifications of this, or potential halachic ramifications of this, one being Baal Te'acher. There's a halacha that if you take a neder, the Torah says, Baal Te'acher L'Shalomo, Lo Te'acher L'Shalomo, you're not supposed to push off the completion of your neder. You commit yourself to doing something Torah says you have to do it. And Shlomo Melech says, Tov shalot yidor misheti dor v'lo tishalem. Better not to take a neder in the first place than to take a neder and not to fulfill your neder. But how long do you have to fulfill your neder? So it's a machlokas among the Tanaim. The Chachamim say you have three regalim. Whatever the next three regalim may be, that's how long you have. Rabbi Shimon says you need to have the three regalim in sequence, in order. So what is the sequence? What are the three regalim in order? So our Mishnah tells us Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. Of course, we don't paskin like Rabbi Shimon, but that's one of the ways in which this Rosh Hashanah l'regalim has potential nafkaminas, has halachic ramifications. But once again, we're going to be focusing on the first one. But that is those are the two ramifications of Rosh Hashanah, of Rosh Chodesh Nisan as a Rosh Hashanah. What's the second Rosh Hashanah? The second is Be'echad Be'elul, Rosh Hashanah l'ma'aser behema. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omrim Be'echad B'Tishrei. We have a separate Rosh Hashanah for Ma'aser Behema. What is the halacha of Ma'aser Behema? A shepherd, a herdsman, a rancher is obligated to take one out of every tenth kosher animal and to deliver it as a carbon that we call Ma'aser Behema. Now the halacha is that when you separate Ma'aser Behema, you have to separate animals that were born in the same year. You can't separate an animal born in year two for a herd, 10 animals that were born in year one. They need to be born in the same year. So what is the cutoff point for a year? So here too we have another Rosh Hashanah. So the Tanakhama gives us the date of Rosh Chodesh Elul, and then Rabbi Lozer Reb Shimon give us the date of Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, because as we're going to see, Rosh Chodesh Tishrei has nafkaminas, has implications for Ma'aser Yerakos, Ma'aser of plant life, and they assume that there is a hekesh, a connection between the two of them, so they give the same date as Echad B'Tishrei. But the second of the Rosh Hashanahs is the first of Elul, which has ramifications for Ma'aser Behema. The third Rosh Hashanah is the one that we are most familiar with. Be'echad B'Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim, U'L'Shmitin, U'L'Yovlos, L'Netia, U'L'Yerakos. The first of Tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah for years. Now again, of course, years we would assume is just the years, the anniversary of creation, as we say on Rosh Hashanah, Hayom Haras Olam. The Gemara is going to tell us, we're already going to see this briefly in tomorrow's daf, but it's going to come up certainly next week, that Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim also refers to the years of secular kings. Secular kings. Okay, Malchei Umos Olam. When we're dating, we're going to see, again, I guess just to foreshadow a little bit, this whole Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim is important for dating shtaros. If you have a legal document and you need to put a date on it, you need to date it by the year of the king. So certain documents are dated by the Jewish king, and the Jewish king's years go by the month of Nisan, as we just saw, and other documents are going to go by the secular king, which go by the Rosh Hashanah of Tishrei. Now, which documents go by which? So Tosfos already have a short discussion over here as to which ones would be dated in which way. The Gemara in Gittin tells us that we date certain documents by the secular king, Mishum Shalom Malchus, just to keep the peace. We want to use the secular date in order to maintain the peace in some way or another. So which documents are which? Tosfos suggests that it's specifically Gittin that are dated by the secular date, because, just to quote the end of Tosfos here, this is Dibur Maskel Malachim, Avisha hu dabar gadol, umilsa dachashivus, Avisha ayate get mutaras l'chola adam chashu mishar shtaros. Tosfos say that because a get is the most chashuv of all shtaros, because it has incredible significance, very important halachic significance, it's what enables a woman to remarry and the like, and it is chashuv mishar shtaros, therefore that is the one that we use, ironically, a secular date on, in order to preserve shalom malchus. I guess it's the most high profile, it's the one that would be most studied or analyzed, and therefore we use a secular date there in order to preserve the shalom malchus. The notion that get is chashuv mishar shtaros, Tosfos are using it here in just a very public perception sense, that others are going to see it, and therefore we have to use the secular date. It's also a very important notion halachically. We're not going to get into shtaros right now, maybe when we start Maseches Gittin. But get is in certain ways a paradigmatic shtar. In other ways, it defies the rules of other shtaros, both because of its chashivus. When the Rambam says that shtaros is midrabanan, the Ramban takes him to task on that assertion from primarily Gittin. There's a whole debate in the Shurashim of the Sefer HaMitzvos. The Rambam says the shtaros midrabanan, and the Ramban says, how could you say that? We have something called the Sefer Krisus, we have something called the Get. It's described in the Torah itself. How in the world can you tell me that shtaros midrabanan? But again, this is just, I guess, a more pragmatic ramification of this notion that Get is chashiv mishar shtaros. Yeah, Gary.
Purpose of having multiple Rosh Hashanahs? Why not? Wouldn't it have been easier just to do one Rosh Hashanah, everything would start at the same point?
So, it's a fair question, but as you'll see, as you go through Maseches Rosh Hashanah, we're going to identify why certainly, for example, the agricultural ones, or I don't know what the proper term would be, the pastoral ones, Ma'aser V'Hema, that there are going to be intuitive reasons that link that particular day to the Rosh Hashanah. So it may have been simpler to do so, but we'll see a lot of these have internal logic to them that will come through the study of Maseches Rosh Hashanah. So that is Rosh Hashanah Lishanim. Right, so we have a Rosh Hashanah for the Jewish kings, that's Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and for the secular kings, that's Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. What about all the other things that are listed here? We're now on the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 line of the Gemara, not including the big word Arba'ah. Fifth line, not including the big line Arba'ah. It lists a lot of other things that start in Chodesh Tishrei. So first of all, L'Shmitin. When does the Shemitah year start, right? The Shemitah year is the seventh year of the whole Meiser cycle this year. When does Shemitah start? So the Mishnah tells us that Shemitah starts on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. And again, we know that to be the halacha. Uliyovlos, the same thing applies to a Yovel, every 50th year, which again, we are no longer noeg, but Bizman HaMikdash, Bizman HaMikdash Kayim, Shekol Yoshveha Aleha, in the times of the Mikdash, they had Yovel. And then too, it began on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. Linatia is another interesting halacha. Hanatia refers to the concept of orla. When you plant a tree for the first 3 years, you are not allowed to derive benefit from its produce. So when does the year turn over? When does year one turn into year two? So it changes by Echad B'Tishrei. It's not 3 years from the date of planting. It's 3 years as measured by three Rosh Chodesh Tishreis. Three Rosh Hashanahs is how we measure orla. Uli Yerakos, and for Yerakos. Yerakos is once again, as I alluded to before, a question of Ma'aser. It's a question of Ma'aser. So when I'm separating Ma'aser, this time not from my flock, not from my herd, but I'm rather separating now from my produce. Once again, you need to separate from produce that was harvested the same year, and the cutoff point for that is Echad B'Tishrei. And there's also another ramification for which Ma'aser you're supposed to separate. We know there's something called Ma'aser Rishon that's given to the Levi. That happens every single year. But there's a second set of Ma'aser that's separated over the course of the Ma'aser cycle, and different things are done in different years. Some years you separate something called Ma'aser Sheni, which is brought to Yerushalayim and consumed by the owner in Yerushalayim. Other years you give Ma'aser Ani, where that second tithe is given to the poor and the destitute. So how do you know which one to do? So again, it depends on the year. Is it the first or second year? Is it or fourth or fifth? Is it the third or sixth year? It depends on which year of the cycle you're in, and which year of the cycle is determined by Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, and what we call Rosh Hashanah.
About Natiya, if you plant a fruit tree a month before Tishrei, does that count second year?
A month before, yes. Then once you hit Tishrei, now it's year two. Now it's year two. Now we're going to see there's a separate ramification of this in a moment, but Echad V'Shvat, Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan, is going to be the next line in the Mishnah. So you also have to worry about a halacha called Revai in the fourth year, and that's determined by the final Rosh Hashanah that's in our Mishnah. So let's just read it. It's a perfect segue. But Echad V'Shvat, Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan, Kedivrei Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai maintain that the first of Shavat is Rosh Hashanah for Ilanos. Beis Hillel Omrim, Beis Hillel famously say, Chamisha Asar Bo, it is Tu B'Shvat, providing us the great song, Tu B'Shvat Igiyah Chag Le'ilanot. It should be Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanot. It's not a Chag, they're not bringing a Karban Chagiga, but it is a Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanos. That is the day that we determine the turnover point for the fruits of the year, as far as calculating Revai is concerned, and as far as as Ma'aser of the trees is concerned, as far as Ma'aser of the fruits of the tree is concerned, that is the separate Rosh Hashanah. So you do have four Rosh Hashanahs that are recorded in our Mishnah, each with its own important halachic ramifications.
How do you determine which is the type of fruit tree is Tubishvat and which is
So that gets into a broader question as to what is considered an Elon and what is considered Yerakos in halacha, right? And that has ramifications here, that has ramifications for Hilchos Brachos as well. So usually we'll say something that maintains its structural integrity from year to year, right? That's a common hagdara that we give. But that would be the determining point for Elon and Yerakos. But it is an important question because there are other nafkamina as well for Elonos versus Yerakos. And again, that's a general question in halacha as to where the line lies between them. Okay. Any other questions before we begin the Gemara? Okay, let's go. Now, we're gonna read really just three lines of the Gemara, and there are three lines that require a lot of explanation. You'll see most of the Gemara, certainly on Amud Beis, is actually going to fly. But these three lines are heavy, so let's read them together. L'malachim l'mai hilchasa, the Gemara asks. Why is it so important that we know this Rosh Hashanah for the Malachim, for the kings? Amar Rav Chisda l'shtaros. Rav Chisda says it is important for dating legal documents. It is important for shtaros. Disnan, for we learned in a Mishnah, shtarechov hamukdamin psulin, v'hameucharin kesherin. If you have a legal document that is predated, it is pasul. If it is postdated, it is kosher. Now, what is this all about? So let's take a dive for a moment into the world of shtaros. And here, we need to talk about two types. Let's, by way of background, we'll talk about different ways in which one can collect a chov, different ways one can collect a halachic obligation. Broadly speaking, in halacha, we could divide property into two categories. Well, there are lots of different two categories that we can use to divide property, but for our purposes, we could talk about nechasim mishubadim and nechasim b'nei chorin. What that means is as follows. Let's say Reuven lends Shimon money, and they draft a shtar. Okay, so it's a milva haksuva b'shtar. It's not a milva alpeh. It's not just a verbal agreement between them. It's not even just an agreement with witnesses. It's a loan that is fortified by a legal document attesting that Reuven lent Shimon money. Now, in that instance, of course, Reuven is allowed to collect anything from Shimon's assets, right? Let's say the loan comes due. Let's say it's 30 days later, because we have a general principle that Stam Halva is Shloshim Yom. So 30 days later, the loan is due. Reuven lent Shimon $100. Shimon has $100 in his bank account. Reuven can say, give me those $100 that are sitting in your bank account. But there's an additional way for Reuven to collect, and that's called Nechasim Mishubadim. What that means is as follows. If Shimon has any land assets, what we would call karka in halacha, at the point of the loan, then Reuven can collect any of those landed assets at the end of the loan coming due, at that point, even if Shimon had subsequently sold them to somebody else. So Shimon has a piece of land that's worth $100. It's not in the tri-state area. He has a piece of land that's worth $100. He sells it to a third party. If Shimon owned that land at the original point of the loan, then Reuven can go collect that land from the third party as payment for the loan that he issued to Shimon. It's a kind of lien on Shimon's property that's issued from the moment that he lends money to Shimon. That's Nechasim Mishubadim. Fine. Now, based on that, why is it a problem if they predate the shtar? The problem if they predate the shtar is the following. Let's just construct a scenario. Exactly. He can unjustly take it away. Exactly. Let's say Shimon sold a piece of land to a third party. We'll call the third party, conveniently, Levi, on the first of the month. On the second of the month, Reuven issues his loan to Shimon. Now, can Reuven collect that landed property as Nechasim Mishubadim? He legally cannot, because it was already sold at the point that Reuven lent the money to Shimon. He can't collect that property. That property had nothing to do with Shimon at the point that the loan was issued. Now, if they predate the loan, even though it was on the second day of the month, and they predate it to the first day of the month, and they go to Beis Din, what's Beis Din going to think? They're going to say, sorry, Levi, this land was owned by Shimon at the point of loan. Because it was owned by him at the point of loan, this is now subject to collection from Reuven. And he's going to unjustly collect land that was purchased by Levi, even though Levi had purchased the land before the loan was ever issued. So if you predate a loan, because it's going to enable the lender to unjustly collect nechasim mishubadim that don't rightfully belong to him, Chazal pasled ashtar muktam. Tosfos already noted machlokas here as to whether they pasled the shtar entirely or just to collect from nechasim mishubadim. In other words, let's say Shimon happens to have those $100 in his bank account. Can Reuven go to him and say, hey, you owe me $100. You know what? You're right. It's predated. So I'm not going to go after the lien's property because clearly that was messed up. The date was messed up. Can I take from at least your free assets, your liquid assets? Can I take from that? So Tosfos already noted machlokas regarding that issue. It's the last Tosos. It's a one-liner, so I guess let's do it together. Shtari Chov HaMukdam in Psulim. We can do this Tosos. Peshili Ezehu Neshach. At the very end of Parak Ezehu Neshach and Bav Metzia, the fifth Parak of Bav Metzia. Pierce Bekunches Psulim Lagabe Meshabde Avam Yibbenechore Gave. Rashi says that, look, it's not going to work to collect from Nechasim Mishubadim because of the issue that we just raised. But look, if he has liquid assets, let him collect. But Tosos disagree. V'lo Yitachin HaKumosh Pirash Nusham. Tosos say the shtar is puzzle, the shtar is puzzle. Once it is predated, the shtar is written off. It is no longer legally valid, and you can't use it to collect from anything.
Even if the loan was made before, if he made the loan on the 30th, and we did the paperwork on the 2nd, and we predated it,
that's not predating. We mean predating. No. We mean predate. Yeah. Okay. Good. So I'm glad you brought it up. So we'll talk about. Yeah. Give me 1 second on that. Okay. So you need to know. So in short, just returning to our original Gemara, you need to know when the Rosh Hashanah is for Malachim. You need to know when the Rosh Hashanah is for Kings, because you need to be able to properly date your Shtaros. If you predate them, then they are going to be Pesulim. Now, just one. Two parenthetical points. Number one, a question that's raised in the Rishonim is, okay, fine, that's well and good. You're telling me I need to properly date my shtaros, but why can't you just date it by
the date?
Well, let's say the date of the calendar, or the possibility that's raised by the Rishonim is, if you're dating it by the kings, which is how they used to do it, just date it by the date of his ascension, right? Just a full year from if he takes over on whatever date he takes over on Yud Zayin Mar Cheshvan, whatever the case may be. Why not just date it from that particular date? So it's a diyun in the Rishonim. Rashi says it just makes it more confusing. Maybe the Dayanim are going to forget what date was the date of the coronation. They're not going to remember what day the king ascended to the throne. Tosafot say that's inconceivable. What, you're going to make this gzera because Dayanim are going to forget? So they have to construct a whole scenario where there would be a problem. The sofer would make a mistake based on the date of coronation. The bottom line is, it's easier to just have a set date in the calendar that you use rather than remembering each particular king's date of coronation, because that could just yield further confusion. Now, you'd think that this whole halacha of Shtar Mukdam and Shtar Me'uchar is a halacha that probably doesn't come up so often, right? You'd have to be a Dayan sitting on a prominent bezdin, dealing with a real significant din Torah, where somebody accidentally messed up the date. How often does that happen when you're drafting a significant legal document? Where somebody accidentally messed up the date in order to create a shtar muktam, to create a problem. So you think it's not something that you encounter. But the truth is, this halacha is a halacha that every Rav, I would virtue to say, every single Rav encounters at one point. Does anybody know when that is? And Mark, it goes back to your point. A chasana. Okay, good. It's a classic question that comes up when a chuppah happens during Bein HaShemashos. Again, a very common shaila. It happens all the time, particularly, you know, in the winter months. When you have a chasana during Bein HaShemashos, let's say you have a wedding. Let's say it's like right around nowadays. I was actually just speaking to a chasan about this. Right nowadays, Bein HaShemashos is right around 6 to 7, right? Which is prime chuppah time. Prime chuppah time. So let's say the chuppah is happening during Bein HaShemashos. Now, of course, Bein HaShemashos is famously the time between Shkia and Tzeis HaKochavim, between sunset and the stars emerging, and it's famously as well as Sveika D'Yoma. Halachically speaking, we don't know which day it is. Is it the end of the previous day or the beginning of the new day? So how do you date a ksuba if a chasana is during Bein HaShemashos?
What does the ksuba have to do with the
nisuin? What does the ksuba have to do with the nisuin?
Yeah,
can
you do a ksuba a week in advance.
A ksuba is a shtar chov. A ksuba is a shtar chov. First of all, we don't like doing a ksuba a week in advance.
It's not a shtar kedushin.
It's not a shtar kedushin, correct. It's a shtar chov, though.
It's a neutral agreement.
No, it's a shtar chov. In other words, he's obligating himself.
100%, but he could do the shtar chov 3 days in advance.
Well, we ordinarily like doing the ksuba specifically at the point of the nisuin.
Who cares? Why would I care what the date is on the ksuba?
No, because again, that we No. Slow down. The ksuba... The ksuba attests to the kinyan. Alan, but also again, the ksuba says v'kanina, right? The ksuba attests to the kinyan that is done between the chasan and the kala, and that kinyan is done on a particular day. So again, it would be a problem to just predate. You can't just predate it because you're attesting to a certain act of kinyan. If you would do the kinyan, at that point, I guess in theory you could do something like that. I don't even know what, I'm sure the poskim would be against it. I'm trying to think if in theory it could work. But in any event, the point is the kinyan is being done at that particular point. Your counterfactual notwithstanding, right? The kinyan is being done at that particular point. So you can't just date it earlier. So if you have the kinyan being done during Bein HaShemashos, how do you date the ksuba that is attesting to that kinyan, right? So the answer is, you always, always date by the later date. Why? Because we just said, Ashtar Me'uchar, if you have the later date, the shtar is kosher. If you have a shtar muktam, then the shtar is pasul. If you have a pasul ksuba, that's a big problem. So we try to use the shtar me'uchar. Now, ordinarily, lechatchila, we try not to write a shtar me'uchar either. You can theoretically, you could say, oh, you know what? I'm always just going to be careful and post-date a shtar. Because if it's post-dated, it's kosher, and I don't want to run into any problems. So we don't like that either, because we call it mechzei kashikra. It looks like you're lying. You should always try to be accurate. Now, during Bein HaShemashos, would we say it's mechzei kashikra? I don't think so, because it's Bein HaShemashos. Now, a similar question goes back to Mark, the question you were raising earlier. What about the following scenario? A case where they're doing the kinyan, they do the kinyan at the chasen's tish, right? That's where they do the kinyan. So they're doing the kinyan before shkia, and let's say it's a short Bein HaShemashos, or a very long wedding, and the actual wedding takes place at Tzeis HaKochavim. So there you have machlokes between Rosh Feinstein and Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Rosh Feinstein said, choose the later date on the basis of shtar me'uchar, because again, we just said you don't want a predated shtar. A post-dated shtar is never going to be a halachic problem b'di'evet, so you should post-date it. Rosh Feinstein felt that's incorrect, because again, the kinyan is being done before shkia. So he says, that's not a shtar muktam. You're attesting to the performance of the kinyan. The kinyan is being done before shkia. He says, you should write it with the earlier date in that scenario, and that's the psak of Rav Shechter as well. Rav Shechter went,
can you do the kinyan al tanai?
Again, in theory,
the rabbi, the Sadek, was in my wedding.